Hey, fashionpreneur, I want to invite you to the TFA Elite Society. For the first time ever, the Fashionpreneur Academy is offering a very low-cost monthly subscription to attain access to our valuable fashion business education. This is the only place that you can get this, and I'm so excited to share it with you guys. Our community is only growing. With over 48,000 launches and multiple million-dollar success stories, it's time for us to scale even further and watch more success happen. Within the TFA Elite Society, you will receive one new curriculum every single month. This curriculum is not limited to just fashion design or wholesale buying, but if you want to understand marketing and selling, that is how you're going to scale and profit. So we're going to cover it all. You're also going to get access to two live Q&A masterclasses every single month. So that's three classes total every single month. What I'm most excited about are our TFA Elite Secret Events. We are going to have access-only events for our members, guys. We are hosting some super lit networking events where your favorites within the game will be present, classes, live conversations, and more. This is where the community is going to be built, so you guys have to be there. Also, guys, you're going to get 20% off all Fashionpreneur events and shop Fashionpreneur.com products and purchases that you may get. So, guys, make sure you register right now and learn more about the society at thefashionpreneuracademy.com/TFA Elite Society. I'll see you in the society. Hey, fashionpreneurs, welcome back for another entry of the Fashionpreneur Diaries. Today's entry is going to be quite interesting. I have a very special guest that is going to be taking over TFD today. It's my amazing executive assistant, Josephine Menardis. Some of you guys met her when we were on tour. We call her Josie. But I asked Josie to do an entry this week to discuss some of the things that I think CEOs need to know. Recently, Josie came to me and I remember she called me a control freak. And I was like, what? You're so right. How do you know? And she knows because she's working with me every day and she's affected by it. So I had to step back and reconsider the importance of letting my staff create their own flow and systems, which has always been our company's culture, but really allowing them to create an atmosphere. And for me as a leader to create an atmosphere where my team felt comfortable growing, but they're also held accountable. So today I want you guys to sit back and enjoy this amazing takeover with my assistant. This is for all my CEO fashionpreneurs that are feeling like they want to start hiring contractors. They want to start hiring team members or assistants or interns. You guys have to know how to work with people, and you have to know how to make people feel comfortable. Sometimes if you're micromanaging, people feel like they're doing something wrong if you're doing it for them. So you got to let people do their job. And I want you guys to just take some notes, take some great details and information in, and enjoy.
Hey, fashionpreneurs, it's Josephine, and I am super excited to be here today. And I'm super excited for our topic, honestly. I feel like it's a really good thing to hear from an employee's perspective on how the CEO or leader of any kind can really help them be successful in the workplace and in turn push your business forward. So let's hop right into it. I want to start at number one, which is, I mean, obviously, but let them gain their own flow. I was actually talking to a friend of mine the other day about this, and gaining your own flow in a workplace is so empowering as an employee. Like, I remember my last job, I worked in sales, and, you know, we all had a specific, you know, aesthetic that we had to hold up to. Everybody was very polished and whatever, but I also remember not being able to really gain my own flow whenever I was actually in a sales appointment. I had scripts, I had this, I had that, I had a way to talk, a way to walk, a way to hold my hands even. Like, there was no ability for me to make my workday my own. And that might kind of sound minuscule, but if you think about it, you being in a workplace where you can kind of do your own thing, not necessarily, like, not get work done, still do the work, but do it in a way that makes most sense to you. I like to think of, like, whenever I'm talking to someone that's outside of my industry or outside of something that I consider myself to be, like, intermediate to, like, expert or better, like, in an advanced level of thinking in that area. So fashion, for example, I've been all about the world of fashion since I don't even know, like since I was itty bitty. And if I'm trying to explain something like that to a friend of mine that's in finance, they probably don't understand when I'm talking about zipper pulls and talking about production lead times and talking about direct to garment versus screen printing. They don't understand any of that. So whenever I mention this stuff, they're just going to look at me very confused. So I have to find a different way of saying it. And if they don't understand it that way, then I have to find another way of saying it. I say all of this to say that nobody understands or does things the exact same. Like, there's a lot of people in this world, and none of us think the exact same. So letting your employee create their own flow allows them to think independently and to be able to move on their own without you. You brought this person onto your team to take stuff off of your plate, not to add stuff to your plate. So in letting them create their own flow, they're able to actually take those things off your plate and do their own thing. That leads me into point number two of letting them learn your baby. So as Jess mentions many times in her entire curriculum, and really anytime we use an analogy, your business is your baby. You've grown with the baby, you've cried with the baby, and if you've packed very many orders, you probably bled with the baby. With that, you have to let people in whenever they are hired. So I know that working with someone who has such a close tie to the business and has literally built it from the ground up. It is your baby. You birthed that. Sorry, I got tongue-tied, but you birthed that. You have sat there and cried whenever things don't work. You have, you know, wondered what the heck this baby is thinking. You have nurtured it and you've taken care of this baby to grow it to what it is today, to even pull this employee on. A good employee is going to want to learn the baby. And you have to let them learn the baby. You have to let them learn the target market and let them learn the aesthetic and let them learn the vibes of the whole company. You have to let them just get in and learn everything about this baby, because if they're going to be able to help you, they need to know the ins and outs. They might not need to know finances. They might not need to know like everything, but they need to know how in the grand scheme of things, everything should work even if you're not there. Because again, the goal is for this employee to be able to move without needing you and still getting part of what you used to have on your plate done. They're supposed to take a chunk of what's been tossed onto your plate that you can't handle, and you're getting overwhelmed, or you know, you're not being able to focus on the things that are important as a CEO and what a CEO only can handle, you're handing to them. So let them take it and let them learn your baby. That might mean making a few mistakes. That might mean sending an email to the wrong person. That might mean there's a social post that doesn't go up. That will definitely mean there are fails. And I don't even like using the word fail, because it's not a fail. It's a learning experience. It's a learning opportunity. They learned in that moment. They learned that your target market doesn't really care to see an email at that time because nobody opened it. They learned that, you know, Fridays are not the best for social media because nobody really likes the post at that point. Nobody's really on it. They learned that on Saturdays you seem to pull in more sales because the email goes out at 6 a.m. and people on the other side of the world are just now waking up or just now going to bed. Whatever it may be, it's going to take the learning curve, I like to say, of just like, it's a process. It's not them picking it up and knowing exactly how you would run it, because again, you nurtured that baby, and you letting them in and learning that baby only means that they will be successful. Which leads me into my third point of giving them responsibilities. So as I mentioned earlier, this baby has been with you, and you hired this, in a sense, babysitter to come in and take care of your baby, because you cannot take care of it all the time. And I'm not saying that because you're incapable, but because there's so much on your plate. And as a CEO, whenever you're moving more and more into that position, you can't do everything. Like, love, I say this because my mom used to say it to me, but you can do anything, but you can't do everything. And that has to be something that kind of clicks in a CEO's mind of, I have to hire this person and let them take something off of my plate and give them some responsibilities, so that way I can do anything, because I cannot do everything. With that, I really want to push this and say that giving your employee responsibility will make them feel like they're making a difference at the company. A good employee wants to come in and make a difference. They don't want to come in and waste your time and waste your money. They want to come in and help. They want to take advantage of every minute they have. They want to learn and to help you succeed because they want to see this baby succeed too. Back to my analogy about the babysitter. If you think about it, your employee is a babysitter. They're coming in to make sure that in 8 hours of the day from Monday through Friday, this baby is taken care of, it's healthy, it's happy, and it doesn't have any scars or bruises by the time you take it home. It is trying to make sure, like, your babysitter needs responsibilities because you're not gonna call your babysitter or have your babysitter call you, as a matter of fact, have your babysitter call you and say, you know, hey, the baby needs to eat. Are you going to come over and feed the baby? Or hey, the baby needs to take a nap. Are you going to come rock it to sleep? Or hey, the baby's crying. Are you going to come and talk to it and calm it down? No, you're going to give the responsibilities to the babysitter to take care of that baby throughout the day. And that's exactly what you have to do with your employees, is giving them responsibilities, making them feel like they're making an impact, and really pushing them to grow in the company and grow in themselves. They are growing every single day. Your employees need the experience that you're giving them. A good employee wants that. And they are excited to learn and to take those responsibilities off their plate because they want to see you succeed. They want to see the company succeed. They want that success as well. So giving them responsibilities that were originally on your plate not only helps you, but helps them make that difference in the company. Then we have my fourth point, which is don't be a helicopter parent. I know this is hard because if you're like me, you're a control freak. I say I'm hyper organized, but let's be honest, I'm a control freak. And I don't even like people lighting my candles in my home because they don't light them correctly or they don't trim the wicks beforehand and it bothers me. Like, I'm a control freak. With that, I understand where a CEO comes from, where they're like, I don't know if they're gonna do it right, or I'm a little nervous to give it to them. Let them grow, let them learn, and then give them a new responsibility. But don't be a helicopter parent and over their shoulder, making sure that they're sending things at the right time or making social posts like they're supposed to, or like, yeah, the first few times, have them approve it with you, whatever. But after those first few trial runs, trust them to do it. Being over their shoulder will only cause them to be more nervous, more stressed out, and actually cause more errors because you're not trusting them. Although I know there's a lot of trust that goes between a CEO and an employee to another employee and a coworker, whatever it may be, it is difficult to do that. It's difficult to let go of something that you have made your own and giving it to somebody else that you know they're going to make it their own. And they're going to set up a system. They're going to put a system in place to make it more organized for their brain, whatever it may be. You have to trust that they're going to do what's best for the baby. Not what's necessarily best for themselves, but best for the baby. Because if you're a helicopter parent and you're calling every 15 minutes, hey, has the baby slept? Hey, has the baby napped? Hey, has the baby, you know, eaten today? Whatever it may be, you don't want to be that parent that's over your babysitter's shoulder and in a sense makes it to where they don't not necessarily want to succeed, but they are having a harder time succeeding because they feel like either you're going to do it for them or you're going to tell them they're not doing it right. Nobody likes to be told they're wrong. Like, it's actually something that is humanly not the vibe. In turn, you want to make sure that you are trusting them and showing that you trust them, not only in your words, but in your actions, because the more that you show and reassure that you trust them to take care of your baby for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, they are at that point going to thrive because they know that you have confidence in them. We all just want someone to cheer us on, and if our boss is the first one to do so, we feel more confident in ourselves and what we're doing and how we're making things move in the company. And then that leads me to the fifth point of letting your employee find their own limits. So something that I learned when working with Jess was, or is, that I am definitely a yes girl. And I've known that since I was younger. If somebody asked me to take on another project or to take on another presidency in high school or whatever it may be, I was like, yes, let's do it. I'm totally here. But what I learned in working for Jess is that limits are healthy, they're okay, and as an employee, it is okay to look at your boss and say, actually, I don't think I can handle that right now, but maybe later this week, or maybe in a couple months after this project is done, or is that a priority? Because if so, I can move some other stuff around. And having that open conversation with your employee or with your CEO and being able to communicate your limits. Because let's be honest, again, we can do anything, but we can't do everything. We want to. And we want to be able to help you. We want to be able to take as much off of your plate, but there comes a point where we are stretched. We can't do it anymore. So it's either, you know, have to hire another employee or something's gonna have to sit on the back burner. And that's okay. But letting your employee find that limit is important. Not telling them, oh, I think you've got too much on your plate, and them sitting there trying to convince you, no, I don't have enough, like I'm okay, is not how you wanna go about it. Being someone who, like, I've had people tell my limits and tell me my limit in a previous job, and it upset me because I was like, no, hold up, I can do it. Like, I'm fine. And in most cases, I wasn't overloading myself, but they didn't see that I was still able to take on more because anybody else couldn't take on anymore. Any other human that was working with me at that time was like, nope, I'm capped out. You have to understand that each person that works for you is going to be different. They're going to have a different mindset. They're going to have a different set of strengths, a different set of weaknesses. And if you really take, I don't want to say advantage, but if you really use the strengths of your employees, then you'll see that they will load themselves with the correct things. And then y'all will have that open conversation of, okay, so we need to find somebody that can do these skills that is like an area of opportunity. That somebody is an expert in this spot. It's just like hiring employees for yourself whenever you're like, oh, well, I'm really not great at, I don't know, marketing. And so I'm gonna find somebody that is a marketing boss, and they're gonna come in and they're gonna slay this stuff. Like, it's the same idea when having that communication with your employee of their limits and what they need. I say all of that to say letting them find their own limit is important, because them being able to look at you and say, actually, I think I've hit my cap, is an important way of having that boundary of, no, I can't take on anymore, or something's going to suffer, but also not telling them their limit and letting them max out. Maxing out is really important in small businesses, so that way you can, you know, use your 40 hours that you have allotted a week to the maximum capacity, that you're able to get, you know, everything on that weekly to-do list done because you took full advantage of 40 hours. And that's what good employees want to do too. We want to take advantage of those 40 hours because we don't want to honestly go home after hours and have to catch up on something to make sure it hits a deadline. We want to just be done in those 40 hours. So we're going to fill up everything we can so that when we're not sitting there wasting your time, but we're also enjoying ourselves and like getting a lot of stuff done. That is all 5 of my tips. And I know that some of them are like, well, duh, but like, honestly not, because it's so well duh that sometimes it's pushed to the side. Like something as small as like, don't be a helicopter parent. People don't notice that they're doing that. They don't notice that they're having that moment where it's like, oh, well, 4 people have access to this one email to answer the whole like 7 support emails that might come in a week or a day. And there's no need for that. One person can handle that. And you have to trust that one person can handle that. These 5 tips are just something for CEOs, honestly, to keep in the back of their mind from an employee perspective that's worked with multiple employers throughout my very short time working, but I've worked with a lot of people that have very different leadership styles, because we're not talking about being a boss, we're talking about being a leader. And helping your employees feel empowered to be successful is the first key thing to being a leader. And those 5 things are great, great little mental notes for CEOs to have in the back of their head. And I like to see them as like checkpoints, in a sense of like, even whenever I'm like trying to teach somebody something, and like if I am to have anybody underneath me, or you know, not even underneath me, I hate thinking of a hierarchy system, but like having a coworker that I'm teaching, I want to make sure that I live by these 5 things, because these 5 things will help them succeed and take more off of my plate that's overloaded. So it's honestly just a leader's guide to helping other people feel successful and empowered in the company. And I hope that y'all really got something from this. I have had so much fun talking to you guys. It's been an absolute blast. And I hope that you are having an absolutely amazing day, night, week, whatever it may be. And I hope to chat with you guys again soon. Bye.
Hey, fashionpreneur, I want to invite you to the TFA Elite Society. For the first time ever, the Fashionpreneur Academy is offering a very low-cost monthly subscription to attain access to our valuable fashion business education. This is the only place that you can get this, and I'm so excited to share it with you guys. Our community is only growing. With over 48,000 launches and multiple million-dollar success stories, it's time for us to scale even further and watch more success happen. Within the TFA Elite Society, you will receive one new curriculum every single month. This curriculum is not limited to just fashion design or wholesale buying, but if you want to understand marketing and selling, that is how you're going to scale and profit. So we're going to cover it all. You're also going to get access to two live Q&A masterclasses every single month. So that's three classes total every single month. What I'm most excited about are our TFA Elite Secret Events. We are going to have access-only events for our members, guys. We are hosting some super lit networking events where your favorites within the game will be present, classes, live conversations, and more. This is where the community is going to be built, so you guys have to be there. Also, guys, you're going to get 20% off all Fashionpreneur events and shop Fashionpreneur.com products and purchases that you may get. So, guys, make sure you register right now and learn more about the society at thefashionpreneuracademy.com/TFA Elite Society. I'll see you in the society.